Good morning and a warm welcome as we join together as the Church of St. Margaret's in Chipstead to celebrate Holy Communion as per the Book of Common Prayer. Our theme this week is Freely You Have Received, Freely Give, as we continue to explore the holy habit of gladness and generosity. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us, he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 22, and can be found on page 29 of the New Bible. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, Surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, but this is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Here endeth the first lesson.
The Gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper and to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt, or sandals, or a staff, for workers are worth their keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at that person's house until you leave.
Let us together affirm our faith with the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please look at our church website for all our church family news.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you again. See, this morning is a very exciting time for me to be preaching. The two very different texts actually bring together all that I've been trying to do for the 38 years that I've been a minister here in Chipstead. My ministry has been all about place and people. But because we're Anglicans, I can't just have two words beginning with P, I have to have a third, and that would be purpose. So let me get the purpose clear. My purpose is the same as the church's purpose. It is to bring the love of Christ to those who hear me preach and share our life together. Have I, like a good evangelical, brought many to Christ? Well, I can't honestly say that I know that I have. On the other hand, have I brought Christ to many? Well, there I'm much more confident in saying yes. I've attempted to do that by being rooted in the Bible and devoting myself to the place and the people. First of all, the place. The story of Jacob that we've heard read in Genesis is about God's promise to him that he will be with him wherever he goes. Jacob's immediate response is to discover that God was in this place and I did not know it. There is a simple theological point, which is the theme of the Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. That's an extremely important point, that we have a God who is with us through thick and thin, a God who could take on human form and suffered the worst pain that humanity could throw at him on the cross. As I said in my sermon, Where is God in the COVID-19 a couple of weeks ago? He's there in the intensive care unit. He's there with the grieving families. All of that I spoke about a few weeks ago. This morning, I want to speak about Jacob's discovery that God was in a specific place and that there was the gate of heaven. So first, take you through my walk in Chipstead and try to illustrate from that. So come with me as I take my daily walk from Elmore down to the church, along Hogscross Lane, up to the school, and then back down the high road to Elmore. Here's one of the first gates we come across. Never really understood why it's there. Doesn't seem to serve any useful purpose. But then maybe I'm not seeing God for the trees. Here's a much bigger gate. Really substantial, not very inviting. I think there's even a sign in there somewhere saying, "Don't, no admittance." Another substantial gate, a bit more of a folly. But then gates and people come in all sorts of shapes and sizes and guises. Now, here's something very beautiful. This is the gate to Fairdean. You look through, it's open, it seems to be inviting you into a beautiful landscape. Maybe God is there. Here again, a substantial gate, shut. Don't know how you get through it. Not very welcoming, but there it is. Now this one's definitely not welcoming. It doesn't seem to want you to come through at all. Warning, electric gate, do not touch. Here's an odd one. Makes you think, actually. It's a broken down old gate, and behind it are some sheep. They're black sheep. Maybe when we get to heaven, should we be granted that, we'll find that some strange people who we didn't really expect to see are there. The black sheep, maybe God has a purpose for them as well. Now here's a beautiful gate with a lovely garden behind it. And the word for paradise in the Bible means, it's a Persian word, that means an enclosed garden, a garden of delight. And this is certainly a gate that invites you into a garden of delight. Ah, now this is the bottom of my own garden, the gate from the kitchen garden into the orchard. It's got initials on it, JC. Wonder what that's about. Wonder perhaps if some early visitor carved his initials onto the gate. JC? Who could that be? Jesus Christ? I don't know. Maybe it's just dear old John and Carol. But who knows who's passed this way before and left an impression on it. And this is the final gate. This is it. We are now at the gate that leads into the kingdom of God, into God's acre. You go through here and you really have the opportunity of seeing God in your lives, in the church. So God is here. You just have to expect to see him and to find him. I always felt that it was a great blessing to live in Chipstead. I was born at Elmore 77 years ago and have lived here, just with a few exceptions, all my life. This room you can see him in was my father's study. It was where he planned his part in the D-Day invasion, using the concrete barges the Waits Group had constructed on the Beaulieu River and in Barrow in Furness. It is here that I've written, I don't know, 1,000 sermons in the 38 years of my ministry in Chipstead. But beyond that, there are the woods, the valleys, the sunsets, the views. All of those speak to me of a creator God. And at every funeral, I quote the saying of Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 24. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Most funerals seem to take place in the winter months, and I speak of the dead of winter, with the seeds, the deceased, lying in the ground. But in Chipstead, we experience the resurrection, illustrated by the glorious bursting forth of nature in the spring which we've just seen. It's very hard to be an atheist surrounded by the fields of Chipstead, Hooley, Mugswell and Nethern. And of course, we have the church. I've written a companion to the church. Many years ago, Hugh Scott Willey, a proud member of the Royal Institute of British Architects, wrote a very accurate but very dry guide to the church. I tried to write a companion that would take you around the church and bring you closer to God. I hope we'll have a revised edition when we get back into church in a few months' time. I see the Holy Trinity reflected in the building. I find God in the most sacred part, if you like, in the chancel. I see Jesus stretching out his arms on the cross in the two transepts and touching the world around us. I see the Holy Spirit at work in the fellowship of the family of St. Margaret's, gathered together in the nave. This is none other than the house of God. When I was younger and more flexible, I would occasionally come in, kneel and kiss the floor of the church when entering it. This is because I believe St. Margaret's has been made holy by your feet when you come into the church. And also, as St. Paul puts it, whenever we are in this beautiful old building, we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, the generations who have worshipped here down the ages. I feel them worshipping and praying with us today. Well, so much for my love of the place. Now for the people. Reading in Matthew chapter 5, what is known as the Lesser Commission. The Great Commission comes in the last verses of his Gospel, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make all nations my disciples. Baptize my men everywhere, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And be assured, I am with you always. A bit of a contrast to the limited commission in chapter 5, which you had read this morning, with its instructions not to go to the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Well, I think that was about horses for courses. A collection of Galilean fishermen and a local tax collector wasn't likely to make much headway in the sophisticated neighbours of Israel. It would take the highly trained multilingual Paul to do that with his doctor friend, Luke. I think I've fallen into that Galilean character and have hardly strayed beyond Chipstead. You see, I'm a bit of a one-off character. Whilst Chipstead voted for me as a local ordained minister, I wouldn't wish myself on another parish, apart from helping out when our neighbours thought they were struggling. But this passage is all about people. Jesus' message for his disciples is, the kingdom of heaven is upon you, or more accurately, the kingdom of heaven is near. And his kingdom is near when we discover people who do his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer gives us clues as to what those people will be like. They're people who seek God's will in their lives. We look to God for our daily sustenance, the bread, but also the spiritual bread of prayer and Bible. They're a forgiving and forgiven people. They're not led away from their Christian faith by worldly temptations. Their faith and trust in the Lord delivers them from evil. When you meet people like that, you know that the kingdom has broken into our lives. And those are the people that I've lived with and loved here in Chipstead, Hooley, Mugswell and Nethin. If Paul were writing a letter to us today, he would start his letter to all in CR5. That's what George Leckie used to say about shorthand for Chipstead, Hooley, Mugswell and Nethin. And we could call them the saints. And what is Matthew saying his saints will be doing? Well, we should be healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Well, that's quite a challenge. The great contemporary theologian Bishop Tom Wright writes that this means that we are to be healers, restorers, people who will bring hope to others. Going back to the original Greek, sheds more light. It actually says that we should heal the weak. I think this means that we should strengthen those who are in need of encouragement, as well as those who are actually ill. And the word for raise the dead is wake up. William Barclay says that this should be to revitalize the good in someone whose sinning has killed the goodness. In the absence of any nearby lepers, let us think of those people who have been out on the fringes of our society. And the COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted the multitude of risks and deprivation, both physical and social, that the poor and the BAME, the black and minority ethnic groups in the community have suffered. Casting out devils can take a very contemporary meaning for us. As many of you know, I've been involved for many years with a charity getting prisoners off drugs and alcohol. And the grip that addiction can take on an individual can be very like demon possession. But there are influences that can grip individuals and societies, like racism, bigotry, and indifference to the society, to the suffering of others. All these need to be cast out. When I look at the family of St. Margaret's, I see people for whom I have the greatest admiration. So many have come through life experiences that give great depth to their lives. They've come through the loss of children at tragically early ages. They've lost husbands and wives far too soon. Some have had brushes with death in the form of cancer and other serious illnesses. Some carry with them mental and physical challenges. I love and respect this congregation, this family of St. Margaret's, the people of St. Margaret's, because of the depth of experience that it contains. I've met so many wonderful people here over the years in St. Margaret's. And you know what? The good Lord is still sending extraordinary people to us. As St. Paul would say, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Look around you at this place and these people, and you will see that the kingdom of heaven is indeed close at hand. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence, we lift up before God those people or situations that he has laid on our hearts. Father, may those in need know your healing and comforting presence alongside them. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travel and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God, it is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee, because thou didst raise him gloriously from the dead. For he is the true paschal lamb who was offered for us, and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we pray together. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death, until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us, preserve our bodies and souls into everlasting life. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And so we give glory to God. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee. We worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.